Yeah, well, I'll hug him if he needs another one. Oh. You know, I'm glad I don't put these... Can we have these other lights on? I just want to be able to see people. Just anybody. Just run on over there. Turn them right on. That'd be awesome. He's just running on over there. Look at him go. You know what? I think we need to get Gene one of them things that you jump up. No, on, not off. Good Lord. He needs an interpreter or something. I don't know. I didn't even think that was a message in tongues. I thought it was just, I just threw that out there. I think we need to get him one of those things. What are those deals called that got the two wheels and you just stand up on it and just... Segway. Yeah, Segway. Yeah, we'll prop you up, brother. We'll duct tape you to it. How about that? Oh. Boy, I tell you, I'm glad I don't get my messages based on the things, let me just say that I'm glad I don't design my messages to point at anybody. Amen? I mean, I got enough problems of my own, Lord Jesus. But I want to ask you this question this morning because it just seems to me like some of us in this body are going through things that don't seem to end. Like the fires, like a lot of different things. Sometimes it feels like we're going through things that don't ever seem to end, or at least there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. And so this morning I want to take us to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40 and starting in verse 28. Lord, I need your touch this morning. I need your help, Lord, today to share your word, to deliver this message. God, to bring hope of some kind to your people, Lord, that God, the things that would overwhelm us in this world, Lord, you're in control. You're in mind of. You know our hurts. You know our heartache. You know the trials and the tribulation and all those kinds of things. But yet you never take your eye off of us. You never take your hand off of us. You never leave us by yourself. You're always there with us. And God, for that today, we're eternally grateful. And we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Help me preach your word today, God, with authority, with power, with compassion, Lord, with unction, with your anointing today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. And amen. All right. Well, I want to bring some encouragement today from the word. I've drawn from this passage of scripture through my life many, many times. And I hope that somehow I can take this word, these words today and shed some light on your situation, to bring some hope and some help into your situation, because we've all got them and we all need some kind of hope. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth will faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I'll tell you, I love those verses of Scripture. This week, I'm a Facebooker. And this week, as I was going through Facebook, I saw, anytime I see something with an eagle on it, it catches my attention. And I saw this post about an eagle this past week, and it had a crow on the back of an eagle, and as the eagle flies, the crow will fly up and get on top of him and peck at the back of the neck of the eagle and try and cause him, you know, grief and all these kinds of things. But the eagle just continues to fly. And when that happens, he just locks his wings and he begins to soar and he begins to just gain altitude and altitude, getting higher and higher. And I don't know if you know it, but they say an eagle can fly higher probably than any other bird. And he gets up so high, and as he does, and that crow is on his back and just, have you ever had anything on you that just torments you to death? I mean, it's like the things of this world, the things, the trials, the tribulations, they're just always there. They're just always picking. They're always just knocking at you. Always just after you, just biting at you all the time. That's the representation of that crow on that eagle. And as the eagle recognizes and realizes it, instead of fighting the crow, instead of putting forth effort to fight the crow off of him, to do evasive maneuvers, if you will, and those kinds of things, he simply just begins to soar. And he gets higher and higher and higher. And he gets to the point where the air is so thin that the crow literally can't breathe anymore and simply falls off of the eagle and plummets to the ground till he regains his consciousness and flies off. And the eagle is just soaring. And this morning, some of us in this place, including this preacher, needs to learn how to soar above the trials and above the temptation and above the tribulation, above the things of this world. Church, we need to lock our wings. This verse says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I want to encourage you this morning to just begin to rise higher and higher. Don't waste your time with the crows. Don't waste your time with the crows. Just take them to the heights and they'll begin to fade. The enemy will sit behind your back and he will bite at your neck. But God knows the difficulties and he knows the problems that you are facing. He knows the problems of his people. And if you'll just trust him, he will cause you and I to rise up on wings of eagles and soar to new heights and to be renewed. Amen. When we find ourselves in the midst of the storm, instead of sitting and crying and criticizing God and finding faults with ourselves and with those around us, have we ever just looked around to find out what is the lesson that you have for me to learn through this situation? Because I promise you, in everything that you and I face, there's something of a lesson that God's trying to teach us. It's not that we've done something wrong. It isn't about that. It's about, God, what are you trying to show me today? How can I grow closer to you through this? Let me tell you something, church. God will not let you go through trials unless he has something for you and I to learn. There's things that you and I are going through. There's things that I'm going through right now. And I know that God's got something of a lesson for me to learn. And one of the things that I'm learning is that even though the enemy... how can I say this without sounding like I'm whining? It just seems like sometimes he just won't leave you alone. And you're just like, Lord, enough is enough. And I talked about this last week, that the thorn that Paul experienced three times. I mean, you would think if somebody's going to get their prayers answered, it'd be Paul. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Paul, he's a great guy, blah, blah, blah. But you'd think God would answer Paul. He said, listen, man, my grace is sufficient for you. What's the lesson? The lesson is, don't worry about the things that are in your life that are causing you grief. Just keep your eyes on me. God won't let us go through trials unless he has something for us to learn. And he's got something for every one of us in this place to learn. See, God often is is often pictured as a shepherd gently caring for and guiding his flock. He's powerful, yet he's careful and he's gentle. I got news for you. Sometimes a shepherd can be rough. I've talked to some old shepherds in my life. And one of them told me something that will shock you about a shepherd. If a shepherd has a sheep that keeps getting away, you know what he does? Breaks its leg. Ooh, that's a good time. That sounds real loving, doesn't it? He breaks its leg and then carries it around after he mends its leg, and he carries it around and he feeds it and he nurtures it and he makes sure it has water and he takes care of it and all those kinds of things. And when he puts a little baby one sheep back down on the ground, that dude knows who cares for it, and it will stay with the rest. I've got a few broken bones myself, I'm pretty sure of it, from him. I've done some stupid things in my life. And he's never let me down. He's never just kicked me out and said, I'm just done with you. And he never will. Church, you need to understand, he will not do that. We need to see that when in Psalms 23, he's called a shepherd. He in John chapter 10, verse 11 and 14, he's referred to as the good shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, and I don't have time to go to all these, he's called the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter 5 and 4, he's called the chief shepherd. He cares for his sheep. Today we need to see that the shepherd is caring for the most defenseless members of his society, children and those that are caring for them. It saddens me to see the posts and whatnot on the internet and on Facebook of children that are just being abducted. I saw one where a child's just sitting at a table with its mom and a friend having something to eat, and some guy climbs over the fence, grabs the child, and tries to get away, but there's some other guys there, and they nab that dude and they put the hammer on him. It's a sad day, church, that we live in, and I got news for you. As much as I'm going to vote in this election, as much as I'm going to vote, and I'm sure that I am, this election is not going to change the nature of our world. The only thing that's going to change the nature of our world is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Period. That's it. It's not going to be establishing a new church. Although I believe that that's going to help this area when we get this new church developed and built and resurrected and it's opened. If it's not going to make an impact, why are we doing it? Amen? So we have to believe that by building a new church and having room to do some things here, I believe God's going to use it to impact this city. I can't do a whole lot for New York, but by golly, for Myrtle Creek, Oregon, my hometown, I'm believing God wants to do something great here. And He wants to use you and He wants to use me. We need to see that the shepherd is caring for those, the most defenseless members. This reinforces the prophetic theme that the truly powerful nation is not the one with the strongest military, but rather it is the one that relies on God's caring strength. Amen? In this chapter, in chapter 40, Isaiah describes God's power to create. He describes God's a provision to sustain and His presence to help. How many of you know today that He is an ever-present help in our time of need? He said, I shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is almighty. He's all-powerful. But even so, He cares for each of us personally. Amen? Listen, I'm a wildlife lover. I love I love animals. I love eagles. I love all that kind of stuff. And on this trip that I just took, I saw all kinds of wildlife, and not just little ones. I mean, I saw giant, big, great, I mean, huge bull elk standing right beside the road where I get a good clear view of them. I mean, it was dark, but I could, there was no doubt what that was. Driving through the desert and standing beside the road on a rock about that big, just a giant big rock, is a full curl bighorn desert sheep. Just standing there looking at me. I was like, now how cool is that? Antelope, deer, coyotes, all kinds of, I even saw wild horses. Lots of wild horses. And you can tell the wild one because they are pretty unkept. Amen. I mean, they are rough. They're not like the ones you see in TV. God's mind, He knows I love that stuff. And you can say it was just coincidence, my personal feeling is that God just put them there so I can look at them. Hey, I believe it. Keeping me awake. Amen. He is all powerful, but He cares for us personally. No person or thing can be compared to God. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 25 says, "But to whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal?" says the Holy One. And the next time you're tempted to think that the world's bigger than God, remember that he talks about the nation is just a drop in the bucket in verse 15. And in verse 22, he says they're just grasshoppers. Think about that. And if you ever feel so small that you wonder if God really cares about you personally, remember this. He knows the name of every star, according to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 26. And He knows your name as well. He knows every hair on your head. He knows your end from your beginning. He knows everything about you, and He knows everything about me. It's amazing. The same God who numbers and names the stars can heal your broken heart. And He wants to. And He will. Somebody has defined circumstances. Circumstances. As those nasty things you see when you get your eyes off of God. Isn't that amazing? Those nasty things that you see when you get your eyes off God. If you look at God through your circumstances, He will seem small and very far away. But if by faith you'll look at your circumstance through God, He will draw very near and reveal His greatness to you. Listen, the enemy has stole and robbed every one of us in this place of things. Guess what? We either believe God's word or we don't. And I do. And I know that it says He has to repay everything that He's ever stole from us. Amen? So we describe God as best we can with our limited knowledge and our limited language, but we only limit our understanding of Him and His power when we compare Him to what we experience on earth. He ain't like nothing we can experience here on this earth. Have you ever asked yourself, what is your concept of God, especially as revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ? What is your concept of God? Don't limit His work in your life by underestimating Him. I'll let that sink in just for a minute. Because I'll tell you something, if we would give God freedom and liberty, I think He would shock us. I think when we pray for people to get healed, sometimes we pray for them to get healed, but in the back of our mind, we're like, man, it probably ain't going to happen. Don't pray for me if that's the way you're going to pray. Because you done already shot that down. The Bible says we're to pray by faith, believing, and not doubting. It might not look like I've been healed, but I, by faith, I'm going to walk in it and say, you know what, devil, take a hike. I'm healed. I'm healed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So what good is an inheritance in heaven kept safe and sound if we're not kept safe and sound on this earth? Now, I'm not saying we're not going to go through some things, because we will. And we have. But we have to have our minds stayed on who He is. First of all, you have to understand that our inheritance is protected. And secondly, you have to understand that we're protected. Nothing comes our way but what doesn't go by Jesus first. Remember, because He has a lesson that He wants for us to learn through those situations. And listen, some of them are painful, some of them are hard, some of them hurt, some of them cut deep. But I'm telling you, He's still on the throne and He's still mindful. It's like a safe within a safe. Nothing could be more secure. Listen, my hope is in Christ Jesus. My hope is in Him. My hope is that one day I'm going to go to heaven and be with Jesus. That doesn't mean that my life here on earth the rest of these days is just going to be like a walk in the park, having, you know, your cake and eating it, which is the stupidest. You can have your cake and eat it too. What's the point in having a cake if you can't eat it? No, I can't do that. We're going to have to walk through some things, church. Your mental attitude as you walk through those things will dictate largely how you get through them. Amen? I mean, we got to get over the woe is me-isms and begin to trust that God's got a better plan. And here's another little something for you to chew on. The devil hates you. He hates you, and he's going to do everything he can to kill you, to destroy you, to derail you. But you have to understand, even with the onslaughts of the enemy, God said, in Him we have life and life more abundantly. So we have this continuous protection then by the power of God working through the faith of those of us that are protected. So believers that were reading Peter's letter could rest in the fact that God would constantly protect their faith and enable them to receive their promised inheritance. One of the things that I did, and it was selfish, I understand that, it was nostalgic, whatever you want to say, I don't care. When I was in Utah this past week, I went to a restaurant called the Village Inn. The Village Inn is just another restaurant like a Denny's or, you know, Sherry's, any of those kinds of things. But this restaurant held a very special place in my life, because I used to go and have breakfast with an old man that was 93 years old. And his name was Sid Cates. And I went over and I sat right where we used to sit, or as close to it as I could get, and thought about Sid. And Sid would tell me without fail, every time I was around him, son, you get your feet in the footprints of Jesus and you'll do all right. You get your feet in the footprints of Jesus and you walk hard after Him and you'll do all right. I've never had, ever have I been given better advice than that. To get our feet in the footprints of Jesus, to work through faith, to walk according to Him, we have to understand that we have we may have to endure some trials. There may be some persecution come our way. We might even end up suffering some kind of a violent death, but our soul cannot be harmed if we have accepted Christ's gift of salvation. Doesn't matter what we go through. I'm telling you, if we know Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, it doesn't matter what happens to us. Yes, there are things that are painful. There are things that are uncomfortable. There are things we'd just as soon not have to deal with. But I got news for you. If I'm saved, death can't touch me. It's graduation day. And I'm not looking forward to dying at all. I'd just soon just get raptured. Hello. Going out in the first load. Amen. I mean, when the trumpet blasts, adios.
You have to wait for all your teeth to get
there. No, I don't. Uh-uh. Woo! You're on your own. I've done my part. I got you before Jesus, and what you do after that, when that trumpet blows, we're all out of here. Amen. There ain't going to be no pecking order in heaven. It's just like, are you saved? He gone. I like it. The goal of all of this is protection is our salvation. As believers have already received salvation through our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Savior, but the fullness of that salvation is not complete and with the rewards and the blessings until the last time, until we're in the presence of Him. And I'm telling you, He's not going to take me before He takes you. When that horn blows, when the clouds part, when Jesus steps out on the cloud, we're out of here. The dead in Christ, the Bible says, will raise first, and then those who remain will be caught up together, it says, in the clouds. Ha ha! Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Salvation refers not to just the idea of regeneration. It's a summary term for all of the blessings of the Christian life. Even the strongest people get tired at times, but God's power and strength never diminish. Let me say that again. Even the strongest people get tired at times, but God's power and God's strength never diminishes. It never changes. He is never too tired. He's never too busy to help. He's never too preoccupied with the things of this world to stop and to take a listen to what you have to say. His strength is our source of strength. He's all powerful, church. Listen, when you feel all of life crushing you, you feel like you cannot go another step, remember that you call upon God to renew your strength. Let me refer you back to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. It says, But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Anybody this morning feel like, God, I need my strength renewed today? They shall mount up with wings like eagles, soaring to the heights that even the crow can no longer stay on board, and he loses consciousness and just falls off. They shall run and not be weary. To just run. I drive log truck, I drive all around, and I see people jogging, and they just amaze me that they can just, I can do that, make it maybe to the door. And I gotta stop. They just run. They shall walk and not faint. Who does? Who is this talking to? It's talking about those that wait on the Lord. And church, if the church in America has any problem so far, it's waiting on the Lord. We are an impatient people. We have microwaves. We have, crock pots. We have all these kinds of things that speed up the process. We're to the place now that we don't even have to go to the store. We just call a store up, or we get on the internet. We type in a few things. We tell them, hey, I want this and I want that and I want something else. Bring it to me. They bring it right to you. Drop it off right at your door. You don't even have to go to town. I want it right now. We are not a people. We are not a nation that is accustomed to waiting. We just are in a hurry. We're just in a hurry. Some of you might be in a hurry for me to quit preaching so you can go home. When I was in Nigeria and preached camp meeting in Nigeria, them people walked for hours and hours and hours and hours just to get to the service. If I'd have got up and given them a 20-minute little devotional, they'd have strung me up. They didn't even go home. They camped out right there at the church for the next day's service. They didn't even go home. They that wait on the Lord shall renew. Do you want your strength renewed? Get in the presence of God, church. Get in the presence of God. Don't get in a hurry. He said in Psalms, be still and know that I am God. Oh, we have a hard time with that. We have a hard time with just being still. I promise you, that if I said right now, let's just be quiet, no moving around, just be still for 1 minute, we would think by the end of that minute that we are going crazy. It's amazing. And God just says, hey, wait upon the Lord, renew your strength. Mount up with wings like eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Why? Because I've spent some time in the presence of the Lord and I've just waited and I went to Him without a list of things that I need to have right now. And I just said, God, thank You for all that You've already given me. Nothing that I have is more valuable than my salvation. Nothing that I possess is more valuable than Your presence in my life. Nothing means more to me than Your Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of this tent. What more could I ask for but to just come before You and to be still, to wait upon You and say, God, thank You. Thank You for all that You've done for me. Thank You for the call on my life. Thank You for the people that come and hear and listen to Your Word. God, we rejoice in this building that You've given us. God, we rejoice that You're making provision right now. You're using Your people to make provision for a brand new building, a brand new house that You can call Your place of gathering of Your church. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount. Do you want to just mount up, church? Do you want to be able to just spread your wings and begin to rise above those situations? Wait on the Lord. Renew your strength. Mount up with wings like eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Reminds me of a black preacher that I heard about. He preached a very wonderful sermon. In that sermon, he said, brethren, this church needs to walk. One of the deacons in the front row said, amen. He went on to say, brethren, this church needs to run.
That deacon stood up again and yelled, "Hallelujah." Then he said, "Brethren, this church needs to fly." And the deacon stood up and said, "Amen and hallelujah." And then the minister said, "Well, it's going to cost money to make this church fly." The deacon stood up and said, "Let her walk, brother, let her walk." Kind of humorous, kind of funny, but the sad news is that's typically the state of the church. If it's going to cost me, let her walk. Regardless of who you are, if you're going to move with God through this earth, it's going to cost you and I something. But I promise you that God will furnish you strength. Whatever your condition, if you need to walk, He will give it to you. If you need strength to fly, He has that for you also. Hoping in the Lord is expecting that His promise of strength will help you and I rise above life's distractions and life's difficulties. Church, it also means trusting in God. To trust in God helps you and I to be prepared when He speaks to us. To be prepared when He speaks to us. And then we will be patient when He asks us to wait and expect Him to fulfill the promises that are found in His Word. See, God knows how you and I feel. He knows how we fear, and He is adequate to meet every need. I promise you, He is adequate to meet every need. We can never obey God in our own strength, but we can always trust Him to provide the strength that we need. According to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. See, if we trust ourselves, we will faint and we will fall. But if we will wait on the Lord by faith, we will receive strength for the journey. What does it mean to wait? What does that mean? What does it mean to wait? It does not suggest that we just sit around and do nothing. To wait means to have hope, to look to God for all that we need. That's how we hope. That's how we wait. Don't just sit around. Hope in those things. Look to God. It involves meditating on His character and His promises, praying and seeking to glorify Him. In the midst of your pain, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your temptation, in the midst of hell burning around you and all those things, it's in those moments when we just have to look to God for all that we need. Look to glorify Him. Look to glorify Him. It involves His meditating on His character. What is God's character to you? Can I just tell you this morning that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. The greatest heroes of faith are not always those who seem to be soaring. Often it is those who are patiently plodding. If you have ever been around livestock, horses and mules, it ain't always them high fancy prancing horses that are the ones. It's them ones that just plod along day in and day out. As we wait on the Lord, He enables us, church, not only to fly higher and to run faster, but to walk longer. But to walk longer. Blessed are the plodders, for they eventually arrive at their destination. Church, it's not about the destination by and large. I talked about this on Wednesday night. It's about the journey. The destination in our life has been secured the day we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The destination was taken care of. The destination is not a place. The destination is a man named Jesus. And when you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you've arrived. Amen. He is preparing a place for every one of us. He's preparing a place for you and for me. All you have to do is take the first step. All He wants from us is that first step. When we give our life to Jesus, He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. In the midst of the pain, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the tribulation, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the chaos of all that's going on around you and I, He said, I'll never leave you. I'm right there with you. As you experience a loved one that has maybe is maybe going through the process of end of life, He's there with you. The destruction and the devastation that I drove through on my way up through California and into southern Oregon, the destruction from those fires, devastating. Entire towns up north of us, leveled, completely gone. Mill City, completely gone. Devastated, nothing there. Even in that, He is with us. He is with us. We are seeing heroic things happen where people are gathering together and putting out food and gathering clothes and those kinds of things to help out. And in fact, I have a list of things here of people that at the high school, the FFA chapter, they're collecting donations for Glide and for Sutherland and for the surrounding areas with families that are in need. It's time like this that the church can shine the brightest. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning, would you? Lord, I've said all that You've asked me to say. And now, Lord, it is up to Your people to make that decision. Joshua said in chapter 24 of the book of Joshua, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. The first step on your journey to heaven is acknowledging your need for a Savior. The Scripture makes it very plain that we're all lost and undone without Jesus Christ. We're born with sin in our life. We're born. It's our nature to sin. That's why we need to be born again. That's why we need to be born again. We need to shed the nature of man and take on the nature of God. And that comes through the redemptive purpose of Jesus Christ. It comes through that redemptive process when you trade your sins for His forgiveness. God, forgive me. Redeem me. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, that's His desire today. He died for you. He died for you. He gave His life a ransom for you and for me. Oh, preacher, you don't know how bad I've been. I don't care how bad you've been. I know how bad I've been. And I know that if He can forgive me, He will and can forgive you. I promise you He can. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, my Bible says you shall be saved.
Whether you're watching by way of the internet today or whether you're seated here in this room today, I promise you, you have not been too bad. The very fact that you're here today lends hope to you that God wants to redeem you. And if you're here today and you're already redeemed, God wants to use you. God wants to use you to spread His gospel in Myrtle Creek, Douglas County, Riddle, Canyonville, Tri-City, wherever. God's going to use you. Listen, if God can use me, I promise He can use you. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord, but today I want to. Today I want to make sure that if the clouds open and Jesus step through and begins to rapture His church, I want to make sure I'm in the number that go. I want to be part of that crowd." Maybe you've somewhere along the line you've given your life to Jesus, but life happened and you're backslidden and you find yourself a long ways away from where God would have you to be, and today you realize just where you're at and how far from God you today. You say, "Lord, I'm coming back. I rededicate my life to You today." If you either have never been saved or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus today, I'm going to just simply ask you to slip your hand up because I want to pray with you today. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all say, "Preacher, that's me. I want to make darn sure that heaven's my home." We're seeing things happen in this world that are pretty blatant, that things are happening. Times are changing. Anybody at all say, "Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I want to surrender my life to Jesus." Anybody at all say, "Preacher, that's me." Well, God, I've done all You asked me to do.